Well, here we are. Mark, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing good, thank you. Yes, yes, doing very well. Have my little grandson in my next room, so I've been told to not get too excited tonight.
So should I kind of keep it down a little bit?
I think we should keep it down. You're okay, Barry. You're in my headphones.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I know. And of course, for those who don't know, we both have our grandchildren sometimes. Well, for Mark, it's today, but typically on Wednesdays, I've had our grandson over, and he's in the next room. And as some of you may know, the more excited I get, the louder I get, and that can be a problem. But he's not here today, but he's well represented. You know, the grandson's union is well respected on the webcast.
They've been talking to each other, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm doing all right. How about you, Barry?
I'm doing good, thank you, my brother. It's you know, we are approaching winter in Canada, but no snow yet, so you know, we'll just do our best.
Good job.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anything new and exciting in your world?
What is greatly new and exciting today is I've resolved a dispute with my mobile phone company that's been rumbling on for 6 weeks, and I finally got through to a person who could actually take some action.
Wow.
And deal with it. So my stress levels have come down significantly.
Well, well done, matey. You know, I'm cheering you on.
That was that. But can I just mention the days we've got in November?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll put you on full screen.
Okay, thanks. So just to mention once again, we've got the 2 days that I'm doing with Trevor and Linda on the 6th of November and the 27th of November. 6th of November at the Lighthouse Community Church in Hardley near Southampton, and 27th of November up at St. James's Church Hall in Bridgnorth. Basically, it's just kind of helpful if you can register. Just send us an email through the website. There's a registration form. It means if there's any changes with COVID or anything else, we can let you know. But otherwise, it's just turn up, bring your own lunch, 10 till 4, and we're just looking forward to having a good day together. And it's, you know, if you want to invite people who've been to schools or conferences before, that's fine. But if you also want to invite people who are interested maybe in doing one of the schools next year, they're also very welcome. So they can meet us and have a bit of a taster. So those are the 2 days. Go to the website and just let us have your interest through the website. And the only other thing just to mention briefly is the Father Heart School next March, Encounter the Father's Love, at Cloverley Hall in Shropshire in March. And again, all of the details are on the website, fatherheart.uk/encounter. And we would love to be able to welcome you to that. So have a look at it and come and join us. So that's really my adverts for the week.
Well, I wish I could be there, mate, but it's still a bit of a trek to the whole international traveling. As you know, it's getting better. I don't know if it was last week. I don't think it was last week, but Canada has officially dropped their I'm having a senior's
quarantine.
No, not the quarantine, but the travel advisory. So
okay.
Up until last week, there was a travel advisory for Canadians not to leave the country, except for essential purposes. So that's gone. So that's, you know, that's one step. You know, we got a few more steps, but we're getting there.
We do get you virtually in Switzerland in December, I think.
Yes, we do.
Getting you into Switzerland, and might even manage to get you virtually into Poland one of these days as
well.
Because I'm doing a monthly webcast, two monthly webcasts, one monthly webcast into Poland and one monthly webcast into Switzerland.
That's awesome. Well,
Yeah, I'll be lining up my speakers for those. So,
well, you know where I, you know, at least my virtual address you can get to easily.
I can get to easily. Yeah,
my physical address you're always welcome, but again, it's a little bit trickier these days. But So nothing else
going on.
You're
doing well, are you?
But
no, you're doing all right. Aren't you?
I'm doing okay. I've I got a new. I wouldn't say a toy because it's kind of a toy, but
it's a toy. Come on, Barry.
Yeah, it just arrived just before the webcast. I've got a new phone, so I'm kind of excited about it. I was like this little boy opening up the package, but it was like the countdown to the webcast. And I thought, you know, I can't even turn this phone on because if I turn this phone on, I'll get lost in the. In the wonder of it, so I thought I'd better just exercise a little restraint, and so I came up and you know got set up for the webcast. But other than that,
he did send me a picture of him holding his new toy, and I thought, oh, okay, that's going to be the end of the webcast.
Yeah,
but then he came back and said, no, he didn't dare turn it on. And I thought, no. Yeah, it's a good job.
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyways, you know, boys and their toys, and of course. C.S. Lewis says, joy is the serious business of heaven, right? And I kind of think, you know, sometimes our toys that bring joy and, you know, are kind of, that's the serious business that we're about these days, so.
I kind of think heaven will have a big toy cupboard for us, Barry.
I think so, too. I mean, you know, I can't imagine what the technology is going to be like there, that's for sure. That's going to, I think it'll be a little bit better than Apple. But
I suspect it will be better than the Apple.
So tonight, my brother, what are we talking about?
We're talking about issues of the heart, a good old foundational topic, just to ground ourselves again, I think. Hey, Barry?
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and it's one of those things, that, you know, of course, as Mark and I do, we kind of chat beforehand, and Mark, of course, is often the, you know, I'm kind of distracted with a bunch of shiny objects. But, you know, he go, okay, Barry, you know, it's Monday. What are we going to talk about? And of course, when Mark said it, issues of the heart, for sure, it's just like, yeah, that is something that I think we can continually revisit because I think that's one of the struggles I think people have. I mean, with probably everything in the kingdom, but certainly when it comes to the revelation of love, is that, right? It just, we try to grasp it in our intellect, and it just doesn't compute. Like, it's like, it just doesn't, it's a square peg in a round hole, so to speak. And so hopefully, you know, we'll unpack that a little bit tonight. So, should I open up in prayer first and then you're going to kind of have a few of your thoughts first? Is that okay?
That's fine, yeah.
Father.
You open up.
Yeah, thank you, Abba, for, yeah, just loving us and understanding our complexities, understanding, just the idea of how we lean to our own understanding and how your ways are not our ways, and they're so much higher, and you just want us to enter into the waterfall of your love and your grace. Mm-hmm. And Father, you know why we struggle. You know the kind of the safety net that our intellect is for some of us, and you know how we have used it to protect ourselves and to try to anticipate when we can get hurt. And tonight, Father, we just ask that, yeah, just your love, your gentleness, your kindness, your mercy, your compassion would just overwhelm us and just coax us into the beautiful confines of our heart. And that is where you dwell. That's where you live. You love our minds. You bless our minds. You gave us a beautiful intellect, but you are pouring your love even in this moment in our hearts. So, Father, even as Mark and I chat about this, we just ask that, yeah, Holy Spirit, that you would just, yeah, just, yeah, even over, it was. It's right. Just maybe disregard our minds in the conversation. So maybe things out of the heart will just flow tonight. So and thank you, Lord. We just pray a blessing on everybody who's live and everybody who's listening after the fact. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Barry.
Oh well. Okay, mate. I'll put you on full screen and just call me back when you're ready to.
Sure.
Thanks.
Gotcha. Yeah, it kind of feels like a bit of a revision topic almost. I don't think there's going to be anything new in what we say tonight, but this is something we just need to remind ourselves of so regularly. Every significant relationship is in our heart. The relationship we have with our kids, the relationship we have with our husbands, wives, our partners, close friends, they're all heart connections. You know, we don't have those significant relationships in our head, in our intellect. We relate to one another from our heart. And of course, we're talking about the most intimate relationship we can have with the Father. And that too is something that is rooted and grounded in our heart. Now, our intellects are important, and God gave us our intellects, and they have a place. But the relationship we have with Him is not rooted in our mind, it's rooted in our heart. And I think one of the fundamental reasons people struggle with their faith or struggle with their Christianity is they're trying to intellectualize something that shouldn't be intellectualized. You know, yeah, knowledge about the scriptures is good and an understanding of what they mean is good, but actually we're talking principally about a relationship. And that relationship, irrespective of our theological knowledge, I love theological knowledge, you know, I love digging into the word and I love finding out what it means, but that doesn't define my relationship with the Father. You know, that's useful and it's good and it's fun and it's interesting and it's stimulating, but it's not the core of my relationship with the Father. And I think one of the reasons people struggle with their faith is they've rooted this relationship in the mind, in the intellect, and then of course it ceases to be a relationship. It becomes a lesson, it becomes an object of understanding, it becomes facts and principles. And I discovered a long time ago that facts and principles do not change my life. But a heart relationship will change my life and has changed my life. And I know that's the case for many, many people watching this webcast. It's the heart relationship we have with the Father, the heart relationship we have with Jesus the Son, the heart relationship we have with the Holy Spirit is the thing that totally changes us. You know, facts and principles are good, they have their place, but they will not change me. And I think that's one of the reasons people struggle with this whole idea of faith and belief, is because it's rooted in the wrong place. And one of the things I really try to do when we do our schools or our encounters is to really take a lot of time at the beginning to ground everything we're going to be doing in the heart, because the heart is central. The heart is it's the wellspring of life, Proverbs says, you know, and it's that deep place of the real me. And when we get into that heart place where it's the real us, that's when our heart can really touch the heart of the Father. And life flows. That's when life flows. And I really believe that we're so privileged that we are standing in the waterfall of life and we are recipients of life. And the Father is pouring his life into our heart. He's pouring his love into our heart. Jesus said, "I've come that you may have life, and life in all its fullness." And I know my own experience, and I guess the experience of many people watching this, is that's kind of like a big question sometimes. Well, what do you mean life to the full? What do you mean abundant life? Because the reality is so many of us don't experience that. So many of us don't connect with it, and we feel hard done by, we feel shortchanged. But when we open up our heart, and when we allow that real me to connect with the heart of the Father, that's when we can begin to experience his life flowing into our hearts. For me, there are two really, really important verses, and they're really easy to remember. Romans 5, verse 5. So 5:5, Romans 5:5. Says, you know, he hope doesn't disappoint us, or hope doesn't put us to shame, which is a very interesting translation. But hope doesn't disappoint us, hope doesn't put us to shame, because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I think for me that is a really, really key scripture. It's actually more than a scripture. It needs to become more than words on a page. It needs to become a revelation in our heart, because many, many people come up to me, and I know this would be the case for Barry. Many people come up and say, I know in my head God loves me, but how do I get it from here to here? And, you know, we describe this as the longest journey. You know, 30 centimeters maybe, and it's the longest journey. And people are trying to get this concept, this knowledge, this fact, and they're trying to get it to drop into their hearts. And when people ask me that question, how do I get it from my head to my heart? I say to them, you're asking the wrong question. Because God doesn't say he pours his love into our mind in the hope that one day, maybe, it might just fall into our hearts. He says, no, he pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And Paul also says that our minds are renewed. And I really believe our minds are renewed when love flows out of us. When love works within us, it will renew our mind. It's not the other way around. It's not receiving something here that changes our heart. It's something that we receive in our heart that changes and transforms every part of our life. So for me, Romans 5 verse 5 is really important. And the other one is Romans 10 verse 10. So you've got 5, 5 and 10, 10. Romans 10 verse 10 says, it's with your heart you believe and are saved. It's with your heart you believe and are saved. And so for me, it's like, that is like the foundation of what, of where we need to come to. It's the foundation of this revelation, because once we have that foundation in place, we can then build on that. We can become rooted and grounded in love. The source of love becomes the very source of our life. So that just like when you plant seeds in a flower bed, the soil gives the seeds all the nutrients and all the energy and provides the environment for those seeds to grow and blossom. And it's the same with us, that when we are planted in love, when we are placed in that environment of love, that love becomes the energy that we need to live. It provides us with all the nutrients that we need, and it causes us to grow, causes us to blossom. And for me, that's kind of where I like to start with this. And I'm not a gardener, you know, I mean, gardening and me, we just don't get on very well. But I understand sometimes when the plant gets too big in a pot or something, you have to take it out and put it in a bigger pot, in a bigger bed. And, you know, I really believe it's like, as love, and the picture, of course, every picture breaks down because it's only a picture, it's only a kind of an illustration of what's going on. But, you know, as we grow in love, as we are rooted and grounded in love, we need a bigger expanse of love. And we begin to appreciate, as Paul says in Ephesians 3, the height and the depth and the width and the length of this love. And suddenly we realize we're not just receiving this much love, but actually we're receiving this much, and then this much, and this much. And so it expands, and that love of the Father comes into our hearts and becomes the very source and energy of our life. It's the thing that provides us life. It's the thing that gives us life. And so, you know, those are really my thoughts, just to open this up, and I'll invite Barry back on. But I think sometimes we it's very easy for us to get sucked away from that. Yeah. You know, we all know it, and, you know, we listen to Mark and Barry and we go, yeah, we know that. But we also realize how easy it is to slip away from love being the source of our life. And really, I think what Barry and I feel for tonight is just to draw us back to that place of love, draw us back to that place of being loved and receiving love.
Yeah. No, I say yes and amen to everything you said. I'll share a few of my thoughts, and then maybe we can just get back and yeah. Iron sharpening iron, and because I just totally agree, and I think it's I think oftentimes we miss it in the profound depth of this. We miss it in the simplicity in which we connect with it. Right? We make these assumptions that it has to be more complex. It's immeasurable, it's eternal, it's beyond comprehension, but it's a very, very simple way in which we access this. And I think, you know, I think that's where we all need to remind ourselves. So, yeah, thanks, mate. I'll just I'll share a few thoughts and then I'll be back. So, yeah, I'm with Mark. I really feel that, you know, God really has given us our mind and our intellect. You know, of course, when Jesus, when he talked about the great commandment, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. So it's not like we are disconnected in the sense from our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. Of course, the more that we are healed by the love of God, I believe the more that our soul becomes, you know, it's that metamorphosis, that transformation that Romans 12 talks about, where Paul, where Mark already mentioned about renewing the mind, right? There's this, and of course the Greek word there is a metamorphosis. There's a transformation that happens by the renewing of our mind, where our soul becomes in line with the spirit reality of our heart. And I just think it's interesting that in Proverbs, Proverbs 4:23, and of course we all know the scripture. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the wellspring of life." And that's the World English Bible translation. And the NIV version I like, it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." So it's, you know, when you think of that, it's not like some things, it's like everything that we do flows from it. And, you know, Mark talked about the garden analogy, and I think it's interesting in Matthew 13, when Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower and the seed, and he's really talking about the soil of our hearts, you know, whether it's the rocky hard soil or the stony soil or the thorny soil. And I really like at the end of that description when he talks about the soil that received the seed, it was a good and noble heart. And again, and I really believe that that's where, as Mark mentioned, us in Ephesians 3 being rooted and grounded in love, it's in the soil of our heart where that rooting takes place, you know. And whether our mind is involved in the process or not, it's and I think that's one of the problems that many times we struggle with. You know, a lot of times when I teach schools, you know, I always encourage the students not to get distracted by how other people are receiving a deeper revelation of love. You know, so some people will cry, some people will laugh, and some people, you know, are just kind of emotionally, they're you know, like an oak of righteousness. They're just not moved. But you know, and when we start to try to, I think, even compare our experience with other people's experience based on emotions and emotional responses, and I think we can get really distracted, because the heart that the Father is actually pouring his love into may be connected to your emotions, or, you know, maybe it will be down the road when there's maybe some more healing that happens. But, you know, the reality, the biblical reality, is that God is pouring his love into our hearts even right now, whether we feel it, whether we experience it, whether we acknowledge it, whether theologically that makes sense, because God is love, and he cannot help but love us in every breath we take. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, it says, in him we live and move and have our being. And it's just like it's not like there's any disconnection. And, you know, of course, in Psalm 139, King David talked about this. He goes, where can I go to flee your presence? Wherever I go, you're already there. So I think this is, you know, it's coming to a place of understanding that the soil of our heart is where the Father wants us to be able to connect with him. And again, if we kind of make it a little bit more complicated than it is, then I think that's where sometimes we stumble. And, you know, of course, you know, when God himself was speaking about David, you know, and choosing David in Samuel, he says, you know, don't look on his face or his height, but, you know, because man looks on the outward, but God looks upon the heart. And I just want to declare over you that God sees your heart. He loves your heart. You have a beautiful heart. And your heart is, that's where the kingdom reality is, right? Jesus said the kingdom of God is within us. And so when we think of the realm of our heart, that is where God lives. Jesus said, I will come and my Father will come and we will make our home in you. And I think one of the things I just want to maybe just touch on is an often misquoted scripture, in my opinion, that I think we all know. I think we've all been heard it in some church setting, or, you know, maybe an online teacher or something at some point. But it comes from Jeremiah 17, verse 9. And this is Jeremiah speaking about an unredeemed heart. And he says this, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? And, you know, oftentimes, you know, people will quote that. And, you know, I'm talking about believers, you know, Christians who are new creations. We say, well, I can't trust my heart. My heart is deceitful. Who can know it? But Jeremiah was talking about an unredeemed heart. He was not talking about the new covenant heart. And even God himself in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20, he talks about the new covenant heart that God was going to give us through the finished work of Jesus. And in verse 19, it says, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take away the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. You see, it's that place of the heart that you have a beautiful, brand new heart, a redeemed heart, a holy heart, a pure heart, because that is where God himself dwells in us, you know, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I just think, you know, one of the things that if somebody would ask me, how can I best position my heart to receive that love or to be in touch with that love? And I go back to something which, you know, anybody who's heard me speak will not be surprised. Jack Winter used to say, the smaller that we can become in our hearts, the bigger that God can become on our behalf. And I really believe that's one of the things, is that little kids, they are more connected to their heart's desires than adults are, for the most part. You know, they are, the younger the child, the more intuitive they live, and they just live in this place of this innocence and purity. And if they want to do something, they do it, you know, whether it's right or wrong sometimes, but they live from a place of following their heart. And I really believe that even in this webcast, that God wants to reconnect us with that beautiful innocence of the childlike heart that is alive and well in each one of us, and that it's there that the Father pours his love. And oftentimes, you know, when I think of Jack Winter, who's gone on to be with the Lord now for many years now, but when I, for the short time that my wife Ann and I knew him, when I used to watch him minister, oftentimes he'd ask people, can you be a little boy that needs to be loved? Can you be a little girl that needs to be loved? And it's like when there is this place of connecting, from not in the mind and not in the adult intellect and what we deserve or what we earned or what we didn't get, but when we are able to reconnect with that beautiful childlike heart, I believe that's where it's like the floodgates of our hearts can open up, and we could just be in touch with that, just that childlike need to be loved by a dad. And I believe that that's a real connecting point that can help us to be able to reconnect and be able to just to live out of that place of continually living in love. So that's what I have to say, Mark, and here we are together.
Yeah, it's we're talking about the heart. We're talking about receiving love. And John in his letter, his first letter, John writes in 1 John 4:16, and again we know this verse. John says we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. You know, we know and rely on the love he has for us. Now, in English, we only have one word for knowing. You know, it's like we know that, you know, when someone says, I know something, you don't know what they mean by knowing.
Yeah.
You know, I know Barry. But that can mean any sort of thing, you know. I know where he lives. You know, that's a fact. You know, I know my wife. That's a very different kind of knowing. And, you know, we have this one word and we don't kind of always know what we mean. But when in other languages, they have more than one word for knowing and know. And when John's writing his letter here, and he says we can know and rely on the love God has for us, he's not talking about knowing intellectually. He's talking about knowing experientially, and they are totally different things. And that's what John's talking about. He says we can know experientially the love God has for us. He doesn't just want us to know the facts. He doesn't just want us to know, the truth of God is love. He wants us to experience the reality of God is love. And King David knew this. In Psalm 86, King David writes, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. And I just love that phrase, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Because that again is talking about a relationship. It's talking about an experience. It's talking about something that, you know, we've proved because it's true and it's touched us and it's changed us. And so we can say, Father, I want to rely on your faithfulness. You know, I want that undivided heart. I want an undivided heart. Because I want to be able to experience more and more of this amazing reality that God is love. See, I think the more we experience, the more we experience that, the more it's going to change us. It's like this is the experience beyond all experiences. And it's just, I find it's a place of great rest. There's so much turmoil in the world. There's so much unrest, isn't there? There's so much disquiet. But actually, when we can come to this place in our heart where our heart is quiet and our heart is stilled, it's just like we can take a deep breath and go, oh, it's okay. Because we're resting in his love. You know, we're leaning in the everlasting arms. I think that was the hymn you played at the beginning, wasn't it, Barry?
It was that here is love vast as the ocean. We talked about that.
We talked about another one. Yeah, that's right. But you know, we can rest. Yeah. It's a place of great rest. It's a place of great peace, and it's a place of contentment.
Yeah.
And I feel that's something that people are really searching for. And we only find that true contentment when we can really just bring our hearts to that place of rest in him. And when we come to that place of being at rest in him, you know, we know that we're loved.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really believe that's just the key for each one of us is, yeah. See, do we know that we're being loved?
Yeah.
You know, do like right now, right at this moment, we're being loved.
Mm.
We don't, Barry and I often talk about this, we don't, if I change my posture and become, you know, if I stop the busyness of my day and just, oh, let me just focus on the Lord for a moment, you know, and I stop, I pause and I focus on the Lord. Very often we think that's what turns on the tap of love.
Yeah.
You know, it's in response to me being aware of him.
Yeah.
Well, the tap of love is not turned on by anything I do or anything I say. The tap of love is always turned on.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, you know, do we know that? Do we live in the assurance of being loved in this moment?
Yeah.
See, that's what changes everything.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, what, of course, when I, you know, of course, with my Google searches and trying to, you know, the average person, according to Google, breathes over 20,000 breaths a day. And, you know, think about, like, if you had to intentionally focus on every breath, how exhausting would life be? Right, breathe in, Barry, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out 20,000 times a day. We don't, I mean, there are times when maybe we're exercising or we're stressed out where we have to be a little bit more focused on it or remind ourselves. But the truth is that we just intuitively breathe, and thank God for that. And I think what Mark's talking about and what we're talking about together is coming into a place of just where receiving the love of God is just like breathing. It's just in him we live and move and have our being, for we are his offspring. It's just like we don't have to try to manage it and try to figure it out and try to earn it and deserve it. And I think that's the problem with the mind. The mind thinks, how do we deserve this? How do I get it? How do I keep it? And, you know, and we have this right and wrong and all this other stuff that goes on, and it just complicates things. And so, you know, again, I think of the creation story where when God created Adam in the garden, the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And, you know, if to breathe into someone's nostrils, you got to be pretty close, right? So could you imagine that first gasp of air, the Bible says that man became a living soul, that when he opened his eyes of that first breath, what would he have been looking for? He would have been looking into the eyes of love itself, a father who said, welcome, son. It would be like that was the imprint on his being. Welcome. You are loved. And I think that's one of the struggles that when we live in this orphan world system, that or a religious system or whatever system where there we have to earn things and deserve things and it's shame-based and everything else, then we just get all messed up when it comes to receiving love, because we like it's too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't too good to be true. This is the good news of the gospel. But it's just that I think the Father wants, and again, that's where I feel the simplicity of a childlike heart is the best way for me to posture my heart to receive love. It's just, Father, would you just reconnect me to the little Barry who just needs a dad right now? And, you know, I just think of Psalm 131. And, you know, this is where King David, you know, like, you know, he had a pretty big kingdom, a pretty big responsibility. And I just love how he ruled his kingdom, how God loves his kings and his queens, the princes and his princesses to rule the kingdom. And he says this in Psalm 131, my heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. And, you know, I think when you were talking about contentment, that we all long for that place of being contented and that everything is right in our world. Everything, we're accepted in the beloved. We don't have to change. We don't have to earn or deserve God's favor. We just are loved.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm looking at myself on the screen, and I, you know, Mark, I know you're looking at yourself. It's not like we're there. We're all on this journey together, and there's many times that we forget who we are. But I think even on this webcast tonight, this is kind of a, the word that comes is that recalibration, that, that where we just kind of, oh, okay, you know, let's not think too hard with this, you know, like as Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So, yeah, so good.
I think we... You know, Barry was saying, we have the mind has the question, what do I have to do to deserve love, or something. I think that was kind of a question you were asking. But I think it can even go further back than that, and where we say, I don't deserve love, I'm not worthy of love, mm-hmm. and that's the shame-based way we've been living. For me, we often talk about the orphan heart, and we talk about the heart of sonship. And, you know, for me, I think one of the things I've kind of come to realize is an orphan is not, is an orphan is so rooted in the mind. You know, what have I got to do to try and win God's favor? You know, how have I got to behave in order to make sure he's pleased with me? You know, what have I got to do? What have I got to do? And it's like we're, the orphan is rooted in the mind, whereas the son is rooted in the heart. And I believe that's the transformation we're on. As we allow ourselves to receive love, as we open our heart to love, you know, we shift from this orphan mentality to living in sonship, living as sons and daughters. And I just love the verse in the last chapter of the book of Job, where, you know, Job's been through all sorts, you know, he's just been through it, hasn't he? You know, Job's really been through the mill, and his family's suffered, and he's suffered, and his friends are giving him this wise counsel or not. And Job gets to the end of it, and his conclusion is just beautiful. Job says in Job 42, verse 5, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. And I believe what Job is talking about there is the eyes of his heart. That through everything he's been through, his heart has seen something of the nature and the personality of the Father. And he said, yeah, he said, I understood all about you. I knew all about you. I'd heard about you. I'd heard about what you did and what you're like. But now I've seen it with the eyes of my heart. I've experienced it. And I just love that verse. I think it's a beautiful verse because it comes at the end of so much turmoil and heartache. And I want that to be our prayer today. You know, we've spent years learning all about you, but now I've seen you, and I want us all, and I know Barry does. You know, I want the experience we have today is that we can honestly say, "Yes, Father, my heart has seen you. My heart has experienced you. My heart is experiencing you."
Mm.
And I guess that's my prayer today, is that we would really see and experience him in a deeper and fresh way.
Now, I know we're not, you know, virtually we can't see everybody, but I'm guessing if we were all in the same room and we said, okay, who wants that? I think every hand would go up, you know, because of course that is, that's the longing, that's the desire that we all have is to be loved unconditionally and to be accepted and know that we belong to God and that we don't have to do anything to convince him or to, somehow force something. You just have to yield to the everlasting love that the Father has for us. So, well, why don't we just spend some time? Like, because again, this is the one thing that I just encourage everybody is it's the Holy Spirit that is pouring God's love into our hearts. And in Ephesians 5, Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that word filled there is not a one-off job. It is an infilling that is continually refilling and infilling. And that is, and so when I think of the Ephesians 5 verse in context of Romans 5:5, that God pours his love into our hearts by the Spirit which he's giving us. And that means that he's continually, it's like this big vat, that's this river, this gushing torrent, that's just rushing towards us all the time. And it's not a matter as much as I think of him loving us. It's about us being awakened to his love and how he is loving us. Yeah, so well, let me just put on the music. Oh, Father, we thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. A love that predates creation. And Father, we thank you that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, period, full stop. And so, Father, our brothers and sisters who are listening from different places around the world, Father, you know each one of their stories. You know the struggles that they have in their intellect and trying to grasp your love. They want desperately to encounter you, to know you on a heart level. Yeah. And with each one, Father, you understand why that they struggle in these areas. You know the things that hurt them, especially when they were little, that just caused them to not be able to have an open heart anymore, that their heart would have to be closed and that they would have to live by their intellect and to protect their hearts. So Father, even in this very moment, we just ask for an outpouring of your love into each of one of our hearts. Would you help us reconnect with the little us who's alive and well, who just needs a dad? Would you just remind us that in your eternal eyes, we are just little. But you love us with an everlasting love, and the outpouring of your eternal affection is going to go on and on and on. So Abba, we just want to be reconnected with that heart that you gave us, that new creation that's pure and holy and is at rest in your love. Oh.
Just lift any burden of condemnation, any burden of shame that prevents us coming before you. Father, all those fig leaves that we've covered ourselves with, just ask that they would be removed and we could stand before you just as we are, and be loved. Father, that in this moment, in these few moments, we would experience your love being lavished upon us.
Yeah.
Father, the pain that we've walked through, the loss that we suffered, the difficulties and challenges that we faced. Father, may that love that flows from your heart just be received by our wounded, broken hearts. That love that is being lavished upon us would find a home in our heart. Father, where we need to be comforted, I ask, Father, that you would pour the comforting love that flows from you, that comfort would come into the very depths of our being. Father, you would comfort us.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you that you're comforting us right now. We know how wounded, how broken our hearts can be sometimes. We know how unworthy we might feel, but none of those qualify us as far as you're concerned, Father. You just lavish your love upon us for one reason and one reason alone. That's because you love us and we're your kids. And Father, just let that love be poured into our hearts. And as you pour it in, Father, may our hearts receive all that you're doing.
Yeah.
But like Job, we could truly say, my eyes have seen you. But even in these few moments, Father, we would each have an encounter with the love of God. We would each have an encounter with you.
Yeah, Abba.
Thank you, Father.
Wow. I just encourage you just to take a deep breath and breathe his love in. Breathe in his love.
Yeah.
I just, even, you know, we talked about the creation moment of humanity when God breathed into Adam the breath of life. Well, when Jesus imparted the Holy Spirit to his friends, the Bible says he breathed on them.
Yeah.
Said, receive the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
My prayer, Father, is that with every one of those 20,000 breaths we take a day, when we're not even aware at a conscious level, Father, I pray that in our heart, in our spirit, being, Father, there would just be a deeper awareness to your encircling love, your surrounding love, your abiding love, your indwelling love.
Hmm.
Whoa. Your cascading love, the torrential outpouring of your love into our hearts.
Hmm.
So we breathe, Abba. We just breathe. That's all we can do. Thank you that you do the rest.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Father, may we make love our greatest aim, Abba. Our greatest goal.
Abba.
So much worried about giving it out, but receiving.
Abba.
Receiving your love would be our goal, would be our greatest aim.
Yeah.
I just thank you, Father, that love changed and transformed my heart. And I ask that your love would change and transform our hearts.
Yeah.
The power of love changes.
Yes, Abba.
May we come to know through experience you loving us all the time.
Yeah.
May we come to rely through experience on the love you have for us.
Yes, Lord.
May we rely on your faithfulness, because you are faithful. Father, help us to rest in your embrace. Help us to rest in your love. Help us to trust that you are good. Help us to trust you, Father. To let go of our striving, let go of our independence, let go of our pride, and to trust you. And as we trust you, Father, what we're doing is we're resting in you. We're resting in your embrace. Thank you, Dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Amen. Wow. Thank you. Well, amen. Thank you, everybody, for that was rich, bro. What do you think? Is that rich?
That's good.
Oh, you know, Papa, we have all of the resources of heaven are just ready, willing, and able just to awaken in us that revelation of being loved. My goodness.
Yeah.